as well with your soul. You got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God on the subject of the idea, a kind of love you can't just fall into. A kind of love you just can't fall into. I've heard expressions of people on many occasions about many different things, you know, and they may have went to visit some specific place, you know, and they said, oh, it was beautiful. We just fell in love with it. We could just, if we was going to live anywhere else, that's where we'd live, you know, and we just give all these expressions. I see Ernie Ray, he told me that about his Alaskan trip, you know, and stuff. But he's a homeboy. He ain't going nowhere and stuff. But think about it, you know, and we see things and we do things, and even with our mates and stuff, you know, and we are introduced to someone, and we just fell in love with one another, you know. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a kind of love that you just can't fall into. You got to work at it and what's going on in the heart and life of the people. Jesus, all of this we're going to speak on this morning, for the most part, has been recorded by the words of Jesus. They're in red in your Bible. And you know it's the Lord talking himself concerning this. But the Jews despised the Romans because the Romans oppressed God's people, mistreated them, did them wrong. And we hear much about oppression and stuff today in the lives of a lot of people, you know, and I know a lot of the division in our country today is between blacks and the whites because of the past history, and we can't let it go and turn it loose and do all the stuff that we see of the murder of Charlie and all the things that's happening and all the opposition. It's just a sad time in our world today. But Jesus told the people what he wanted them to do. You put your finger on verse 27 there in Luke 6. Now I want you to follow along with me in the words of Jesus himself. Jesus told the crowd, the gathering there, as he's teaching his disciples, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Some people make it tough to love, don't they? They make it hard to make things right with them in their hearts and their lives. But he said, I say unto you, which hear, everyone that hears the voice of Jesus, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. But you know, he wasn't talking about an affectionate love here where you go and hug their neck and desire and tell them that you love them. He's talking here about an act of the will of our lives. To in spite of whatever our enemies or in spite of whatever those that hate us have done to us or through us in any way, he expects you and I to love them. To love them in their hearts and their lives. He said, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. You just think about them now. You got to love them, and you got to do good to those that hate you. You got to bless those that curse you. You got to pray for them which spitefully use you. You know, they aren't up to any good, are they? They're out to to do anything that they can to destroy you. What does our old nature tell us to do? Fight back, doesn't it? To come back at them and stand our ground. And I hadn't done anything to them. I didn't hurt them. You know, we make all these excuses and stuff. But what he's trying to do when he talks about an act of the will is that we show them that we love them. We show them that we want to bless them. We show them that we want to pray for them and our hearts and our lives and the things that's happening. What better time can you do that in the life of an individual than when that individual's hurting, that individual's going through a dark day in their hearts and their lives, and they need to know that somebody cares in their hearts and their lives. And when he's talking about this act of the will to do these things for these individuals, I just don't think you can fall into this kind of love. It takes a conscious effort to do it. Conscious, it's tough to go to that individual when they're hurting. It's tough to go to that person when they need someone, knowing what they have done unto them. A lot of times, what do? They made their bed, they can lie on it, you know. They done this, they done that. We make up excuses why it just doesn't matter to us in our hearts and our lives. But I know, and I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again over and over again, you make me so proud how you minister to those that are in need. Anytime I call on you and ask you for any need or anything, because what these verses say, a little act of kindness, a little show of love, a little compassion, and go a long way in their hearts and their lives. Verse 29, he said, unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take away your coat also. Turning the other cheek sometimes is hard. You know, to give up what we have. You know, what is an old coat? What is a shirt? That individual. It'll make a difference in their hearts and their lives. He said, to give it every man that asketh of you, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. You know, it's hard to sit and watch somebody tote off your stuff, isn't it? But he said, if he's got a need, and I've had people tell me all the time, you know, they come home and they found their stuff had been burglarized or something was missing and this, that, and the other. And they said, I don't know who got it, but if it asked me for it, I'd give it to them, you know. We're brave to say those words, but do we mean them? Jesus said, here, him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take away thy coat also, and to give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. He can live with it, I can live without it. That's a big saying that we always say. But we always got it stuck in our craw, what? They got my stuff, you know, in our hearts and our lives. How many have ever heard verse 31? And as you would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. What do we call that? The golden rule. That's right. To do to them as you would have them to do unto you. That's easily said than it is to have me to do it in our hearts and our lives. If you love them which love you, what thanks have you? For sinners also love those that love them. Their hearts and their lives. The things that's happening. What can people depend on? What do they know about us in our hearts and our lives? I was sitting in the parking lot waiting on Kim Thursday afternoon. She and I was going to get a sandwich and go home. And I heard the helicopter coming. And it landed and things. And as always, I said, you know, somebody's in trouble, you know, things of that. And their hearts and their lives. And so Kim come on out and we went and we was eating. And the phone rang and it was Patricia. I said, what's wrong? She said, they put Herbie on the helicopter. He fell down the steps. And I said, I'm on my way. On my way. Going to someone in need. And I didn't know just how great that need was till I got there. Her heart and her life. But you know, she told that doctor this. And it blessed my heart. The doctor said, now, who are you? She said, I'm the wife, and this is the daughter. And he pointed at me. It wasn't supposed to be but two of us back there. And she said, that's my preacher. Said, I want him right here with me. And the doctor said, that's fine. You know, what did she know? Whenever she had a need, Brother Larry's going to be there for them. You know, and as you deal with folks all around and the things that you go through sometimes in life, some people make it tough to love. But when they need you, they need you. He said, if you love them which love you, what is that? You know, I love every one of you, you know, but you're fine. But that person out there in the world that don't have a somebody, what do? He said here, if you do good to them which do good to you, what is the thanks have you? For sinners also do even the same thing. You know, there's been some folks that flowed through that room. They put Herbie in a room where he's off to himself, so you just go and come. Allowed many to be back there when they knew the outcome of the test and stuff and what they was saying. He said here, if you lend to them of whom you have hope to receive your money back, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. You know, and you look around wherever you want to. These lending institutions, you know, payday check loans and all that stuff, you know, that's out there. Why do they do it? With that 35-40% interest and stuff, you know, things. But Jesus said, lend to them that have whom you hope to receive. What thanks have you? For sinners lend to sinners also. Verse 35, he tells us what to do in our hearts and our lives. Follow this closely. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be what? Great. Maybe not in monetary, but in God's eyes, the reward will be great. And ye shall be children of what? The Highest, our Heavenly Father. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. What were they doing to him when they captured him and held the mock trials and did the things? What did Pilate and them do? I find no guilt in this man, but before they turned him loose for the crowd to deal with, what did they do? Scripture says they scourged him. That means they beat him. They plaited a rope, beat him, and spit on him, mocked him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and all the things. nailed him to that cross. But whenever it was all said and done, what did he do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. They were his enemies, but he loved them. He did them good. He lent them, hoping for nothing again. But he told him, he said, your reward will be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's kind to all of us. Merciful to all of us. He certainly has been to me. My life. Time and time again, he walked me through some dark days. He said, verse 36, he said, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. What does it mean to be merciful? To be loving, to be caring, to be sharing, to be doing the things that you need, that you ought to do. He said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. You know? Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. We want to be the judge, jury, and all. We're not careful. When we deal with our fellow man, he said to be merciful, as your Father is merciful. Judge not. Who did the Lord turn all judgment over to? The Son, didn't he? He's sitting there, and all judgment's rendered to him. He said, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. How many times have you heard somebody say about somebody that's life's all messed up? Maybe they've gotten called up in something like alcohol or drugs or whatever it might be in their hearts and another. And we say, they ain't no hope for them. We just write them off, you know, and condemn them and say they are a hopeless case. They've been given chance after chance. You know, we spit out all these things and say all these things about them. But the Lord said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. You got aught in your brother with your brother. He said, before you brought that offering and put it in that plate, what do you do? Go to him and make things right with him. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I had to go back to my childhood days, but I remember my Uncle Bill. And my grandmother's place had a bunch of pecan trees, and our house had a bunch of pecan trees and stuff and all. And they would, Daddy and Uncle Bill would put their pecans. They kept them separated, but they kept them and sold them in 2 or 3 tons at a time instead of a 400 or 500 pounds at a time, and hoping to get a better price. But I remember, and I know Bet remembers the many opportunities that we had to sack those pecans and tie those and sew them up with the things. But Uncle Bill, he'd always hang them on that cotton scale, and he would weigh them, and he'd call the weight out, and we'd write the weight down, and keeping up with how many pounds of pecans that we had and stuff. But he always took off for the sack. And if it was 105 pound in that corn sack, he'd say 104. Take off a pound for the sack. Or what? He said, I don't want to beat anybody. Counting them. And that's what he's saying here. Give and it shall be given to you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Might get away with it here, But when we get there, what we're going to do? Going to give them an account, aren't we? In our hearts and our lives. So he sees the thoughts in the minds of his disciples here. The scripture says that he spake a miracle, a parable unto them. And he asked them a question. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? You know, what he's was saying there, be careful who you follow. Be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you listen to. Because what does happen when the blind lead the blind? They do have problems, don't they? They can fall in that ditch. They can run into that problem in their hearts and their lives. The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So the disciple, the follower of Jesus, is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And then he asked him a question. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know, what do you worry about a little bit of sawdust in your brother's eye when you got a whole plank sticking out of yours? We need to do a little house cleaning around our own doorsteps before we become so judgmental in the life of other individuals, their hearts and their lives. And why beholdest thou that mote, but you can't see what's in your own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, listen to this, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou, what did he call him? Hypocrite. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eyes. Pull your own out so that you can see clearly how to pull mine out. I don't want anybody fooling with what my eyesight is. When they can see, people tell me all the time about having a shot in their eye. I cringe when I hear that. And I hope the day never comes that I have to have one, because they're going to have to catch me first, I think, to ever put that needle in my eye. They like to never, till I got shot, I wouldn't let them put a needle in me. But after I've been through so much with that, it didn't matter anymore. But I love my eyes because they show me where I'm going and what I'm doing, you know. And they're precious to me. But how do we express our love to our enemies? We show them. Our words are one thing, but our actions speak louder than our words in our hearts and our lives. What's going on? Let me tell you something. You ain't got to look very far to see somebody that needs compassion, needs love, needs to know somebody cares about them in their hearts and their lives. Church, if we're who we say we are, the bride of Christ, and there's a need out there, are we going to meet that need? Or we're going to say, well, that's good enough for them. I got a good idea what Bex is going to do. We're going to meet that need. in our hearts and our lives. Because who of us knows which one's going to be next to fall in that category of having a need? Would you pray with me? Father God, as we bow in your presence right now, oh Lord, some people make it tough to love. Some people make it really hard to get along with. But that doesn't excuse us from trying to help these individuals along life's road. You blessed us in so many ways. Well, Lord, don't let us just be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers. And then when we see a need, we'll reach out to that need. And God, that's a type of love that will require us to work at it. We just can't fall into it. We got to put effort there. Got a little sweat on our brow to meet the needs of these that are hurting. Because perhaps the only way we're going to reach them is for them to see in us the love of you, God. If you were here, I know what you would do. But you left us to do it for you. I pray we'll be obedient. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Ernie, what are we going to sing?
294, have thine own way.
We sing this verse of invitation. God's speaking to your heart. There's a need there. Maybe you know somebody that does have a need. Someone that you can reach out to and say to them, I care about you. I want to help you. May not be able to do nothing but just pray. But we can all do something in our hearts and our lives. Do you truly mean what you fixed to sing? Lord, have thine own way.